This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to another episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And joining us this week, I know one thing she doesn't hate, cats. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jess Falstich. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. So Jess, tell us why you hate people in new relationships.
Well, it's not sour grapes. I mean...
I beg to differ. The look on your face.
I can be in a relationship and still function. My thing, first and foremost, my interests are primarily selfish in that I lose a humongous amount of friends to new relationships.
Called like, it. I fucking called it last week when we talked about it.
I feel like the thing is, like, if they didn't have a tendency just to, like, completely fall off the face of the earth, I could be happy for you. Like, for me, it's like, how do we know, like, you know, maybe JonBenet Ramsey just found a nice young man, and she just, like...
At 6 years old?
She just, you know, and, like, they've been just sitting on the couch watching Mindy Project for the last 15 years. You don't know. Like, they could have just...
Show.
Amelia Earhart just found herself a nice riveter. You don't know that. But I think that's my biggest... I mean, it's... I'm first and foremost, my primary issue is just that I lose friends, drinking buddies, whatever, to the
So you have a drinking problem.
I do.
Me too. I'm the one drinking right now.
I don't really see it being a problem.
I like her. This is the first time we met. I like her.
but yeah, no, I think that's, you know, obviously it affects me and my ability to hang out with my friends. So that's my first
concern. I get that. I can
feel
that for sure.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's just, it started out really young too. Like, as soon as my friends were like old enough to date, like, and the thing is, I grew
so,
up.
So like 6 years old.
Yeah. Especially growing up in Belleville, Ohio, where
her
I grew
and
up.
JonBenet Ramsey were best
yeah,
friends. At
yeah.
One point,
that's
dude.
Yeah. That
She's
bitch,
been gone for like 20 years.
That bitch, man. She just met little Timmy in preschool and she's just gone. No, but like it was one of those things where, you know, you grew up in a small town and I think a lot of people feel obligated to get like married, so like
right,
so girls would find boyfriends and they would just dig their claws in like the second that they got a boyfriend, and didn't really see a need to have friends anymore because they were, you know, they had a boyfriend like that.
Where are you from?
Really, I'm from Belleville.
Where's
near Mansfield?
Okay.
Yeah.
all right so yeah. Out west.
Yeah, like Southwest. Yeah, yeah, it's only about an hour and a half away.
In relevance to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Anybody's listening who's not from the area.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that was sort of the thing. And, like, even my guy friends, too, like, they were like, I'm getting some ass now.
No,
I don't need
yeah,
to hang out with you anymore. Like, and they just fell off the face. And then it was one of those things where it was just like, and then it kind of, it's like almost like cancerous because, like, then it's like all your friends have significant others. And then it's like, well, shit. I can't really make friends now because they're all out, like, you know, boning. And so, like, now I should probably just go find someone to bone so that I have someone to hang out with.
So how long did it take you to find someone to bone?
Well, you know what? In high school, this was the shitty part, was I was, like, the fat, ugly, nerdy girl in high school. So, like,
and they weren't in
time,
yet.
That's weird because I'm the fat, ugly, nerdy girl now.
So a long time. So that was, I think that was a lot of the source of my resentment, too. It was just kind of like, well... I guess I have to just be like a fat, ugly, loner nerd now. Cause
were you getting good grades though?
Getting boyfriend? Yeah, I mean, like in college, I was for sure. And college was kind of a nice turning point too, because nobody was really dating anyone seriously. It was more like everyone was just kind of boning everyone else. So
I mean, that's what happens when you get a bunch of people with no parents for
yes,
a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was nice just because it was like no one's complete focus was completely consumed by one person. Everyone was just kind of doing their own thing.
Their focus wasn't on you, which was your problem, which led to your drinking problem.
Exactly, which we'll get into. Which we'll get into later.
Yeah, more than likely.
intervention.
Oh, no, no. This is not an intervention type program.
Let me preface it, because since this is the first time we met, you see these scars on my arm?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I flipped my car a year and a half ago.
Oh, no.
I'm still drinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did.
You were about to be like, right on. Well, I don't know if you should.
Yeah.
Well, he's not driving. I'm driving.
That's
and
important.
I don't drink, so
okay,
it's fine.
It's good.
But you're not a sober friend.
No, I'm not a I'm not the sober friend because that's not why I stopped.
You're the non-sober friend who can drive.
Yeah,
there
that's
we go.
Exactly it.
Perfect.
There.
So have you noticed that your friends, your drinking compadres, have dropped off as soon as they start seeing someone new when you move to the city?
Yeah, so that was the thing. I mean, like, when I got out of college, it kind of righted itself a little bit just because everyone in their 20s wasn't really interested in serious relationships, especially meeting people that were actually from, you know, society and
right.
not deliverance. And and so it was nice just because I met people who actually like wanted to be friends, wanted to hang out, weren't all about getting in a relationship right away and just tying themselves down. The reason I think I bring it up now is because, and just to preface, like my closest best friends are like my ride or dies. Like they're all like a lot of them are in relationships and they still show up to all my stand up shit and they're supportive.
Oh, that'll
me
end soon.
Oh, I have no doubt because that just started.
Well, how long have you been doing comedy?
Like 3.5 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right on. Right on.
So, but I mean, they're still like, they still make a very, very concerted effort to like invite me over, go out, even if like the significant other is going to be around.
Right.
But something I'm noticing is like, I'm in the middle of going through a divorce right now. And so,
Christ.
Like, I feel like I'm kind of swimming upstream because, like, I'm getting, like, into my mid-30s and, like, all my friends are, like, in their mid-30s and I'm sort of going in this direction of, like, all right, cool, I'm going to, like, date and, like, you know,
right.
go do
I'm
going to
be 20 again.
Now. Yeah, exactly. And all my friends are like, I'm going to go try to, like, lock this down and have some kids and shit. It's like, it's a struggle for me just because... Now well, I want to go, and I don't want to be like hanging.
No, I understand that too, because I'm 20. I'll be 29 in January, so it's like I've only been in 3 serious relationships in my
life. Yeah, so Jordan is not speaking as an expert.
No, not by any means. I can just tell you like my personal, like my first relationship was like we were young. We were like 16, 17, 18, 19. You know, like we were together for a long time, but like she had her group of friends, I had my group of friends. And we were kind of the intermediate between the two.
Okay.
And because my group of friends hated her group of friends.
It was like Romeo and Juliet.
It kind of, except like Jehovah's Witness version of that. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. It was like they all hated each other. So it was like I would be forced to hang out with her friends. She would be forced to hang out with my friends because we could never get everybody all together.
Was there dance fighting?
There should have been.
Aww.
There was punk rock. Like, I only had certain, like, there were certain things that I was, like, cool with those people on, like, her friends. It's like, oh, yeah, you like Johnny Cash? Cool. Like, we can talk about that. And it's, like, it's a pretty broad fucking thing. But as far as my other two relationships goes, like, when I first started with those two people, we had mutual friends. So it wasn't that, like, terrible, except the last one, because, she was a lot younger than me,
mm-hmm.
and I knew a bunch of her friends because they knew my cousins,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
it didn't. They were a lot younger, so it was like, why am I hanging out with 19-year-old fucking kids? I'm 25.
Right. Well, and that's why I feel like what's hard about it for me is because, well, my two options are I can either try and find other divorcees and join like a cougar clan or something, or like end up being like the creepy, like, you know, cougar-esque chick that wants to hang around the 23-year-old girls because they're pretty much running at like my speed right now. even though they're like 11 years younger than me and like can stay up 3 hours later than I can and all the other stuff.
I mean, let's be real about it. Where are you hanging out that you just feel the need to hang out with these younger women? Because this is Cleveland. There are a bunch of 30-somethings that
no,
are
it's
single.
True. And I feel pretty fortunate in that the more I get out there, the more I meet people that are definitely still my age
right.
and are able to kind of not want to go live in the suburbs with a white picket fence right now. They want to go actually.
I don't want to do that ever anyway.
I don't either. Like my parents, like, I mean, I grew up in the country and it was a very, very nice, like, I mean, we had woods and we had hills and we had rabbits and like all that stuff.
Land.
But, yeah, land. It was good to have land.
You know who else had land? Slave owners.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's a good thing.
I mean, that's a great point.
I'll take my shitty little yard.
Yeah.
You know, in shitty little Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where I'm locally access to everybody. Yeah. Fuck moving.
Well, that's it. I mean, I lived out there till I was 19, 20, and it took us, like, you literally had to drive a half hour if you wanted to go to the store. Like, and for me now, it's just like, I gotta walk 5 minutes to go down to the bodega. It's so rough. But, like, but it's just, it's a good problem to have versus I gotta go put gas in my car so I can go
to Walmart.
The store. Yeah, exactly. Walmart. That's, how did you know?
Because that's probably the only fucking thing in Bellevue. Never been there, but.
Belleville. And that's the other thing, too. Everybody in Ohio thinks, like, there's a million cities named Bell something. So
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you're from, I went to OU. I know where that is. And I'm like, no.
Nope, that's Southeast.
That's not the same. That's okay. No.
So do you think it's less that, less of it's people in new relationships, because it doesn't, you haven't mentioned like any behaviors that you've had to witness from your friends getting in new relationships other than they're leaving you behind.
Well, okay, so here's the other thing. I think I'm going to make kind of a broad statement here. I think that in some ways the whole notion of sort of finding someone and sort of isolating yourself off with them, number one, is just kind of you're looking for an excuse to, like, not have to go out and interact anymore. Like, you're like, I have this other person. Like, yeah. I don't need other people because I have this other person, which is fine, I guess.
For a time.
But I think the way that ends up manifesting itself is, I think that's a lot of the reason why, not obviously not the only reason, and not maybe even a big reason, but a good contributing factor to why divorce happens more now, because people have this tendency to, like, want to be up each other's asses, like, 24/7 so much that by year two of marriage, it's like, fuck you. You've been around me 95.8% of my life, and I can't anymore. And I feel like it'd be way healthier if you just got... Because, like, I mean, what do you even talk about if you're together all the fucking time? Like, you don't...
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I worked and lived with my ex for 6 years.
Yeah.
And so there was never a moment where we were apart. And the conversation didn't evolve.
Right.
It just became a refrain of the same complaints.
Right.
Which is why I didn't end up working out. But, you know, I think, you know, I can see your point there that you move towards this thing. But at what point in your marriage did you realize that this was happening?
Like, for myself?
Yeah, because this has to come from some experience, right?
Well, what's interesting is that I thought about it today, and I knew we were going to talk about this, and, my ex, he was, I mean, one of the things I'll say for him for sure was that, you know, from the very beginning, I tried to sort of fall into that, like, you'll be my friend, and we'll hang out all the time, and I don't need other friends, because, all my other friends were pretty much
locked
MIA.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and he was immediately, like, I was the first really serious relationship he was ever in.
Oh.
And so he was immediately like, oh, fuck no, this is not how this is. I mean, like, he would literally set aside, you know, 4 out of 7 days a week just to hang with his guys. So he was not about to let that happen. And he forced my hand in kind of making me more independent. And I think in a lot of ways it's probably, you know, the experiences I had with him made me sort of more sort of take a step back and be like, is that really a healthy way to behave? Like,
right.
Always be around this other person all the time. And
well, did you crave that, like, that one person that you're going to spend all your time with? Or was it just something that you thought you had to do?
I think starting out, I felt obligated because I hated being alone. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I hated not having something to do on a Friday or Saturday night when all my friends were out with their boyfriends. So for me, it was just like, I really wanted just to cling on to something that gave me, that occupied my time. And I think something I realized too is that you do sort of, especially when you really get into somebody, you want to just like spend all of your time with them.
100%.
But you really have to fight that. You have to fight it because, like I said, you do. I would rather be like a slow burn than just like a big sort of like
flash.
supernova like flashbang thing where it's just kind of like it all burns out within 3 months because you guys have just been together nonstop.
Something that didn't even cross my mind though was like when I talked about the three relationships I've been in, the second one, it was long distance. I mean, we were 4 hours apart. But it ultimately was the demise of our relationship. But like at the beginning, it was like she lived 4 hours away in Michigan. So it was like she would come down to visit me. I would go up there to visit her for a week, or one time I was there for a month, which funny. It was like that when I was there for a month, 2 months later, we broke up, you know, like, but like
you play tested the real thing and it didn't work.
No, I mean, and the thing is like, I've talked about her before on this podcast is like, she's still to this day, probably the greatest person I ever dated. But at the same time, like long distance doesn't work either. But in that beginning, cause we were together for a year. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, we see each other, what, maybe twice a month, right, if we're lucky, mm-hmm, for maybe an extended period of time.
So that time becomes more special.
There you go. And it's a lot easier to be like, oh, okay, I really do like this person a lot. Not when you're just shoving it down each other's throats constantly.
Right. There's not a sense of obligation to make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're living with your significant other, you have to make it work. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable when you get home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think there's something to be said too, just like, you know, we talked a little bit about earlier, just having something to talk about, because mm-hmm, like, I mean, you get bored with each other and it's nice just to have me like, oh, this guy.
Not to say that person's boring. It's just like, all right, well, show me something new.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you hear the same anecdotes all the time and you see the same t-shirt every day and yeah.
This one time my friend and I did this, you're like, yeah, I know, you told me like, the first time we went on a date. Dude.
Yeah, and then you feel bad because I'm like, oh, I'm all out of stories. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting your material.
Boy. I'm not, but, you know, I don't want to tell you any of mine.
Right.
I think you'd probably leave me, so.
I even wrote down notes because I'm a huge dork.
That is fine. Like, preparation is good. Yeah. So, you know, you're in the city now. You're finding that, you know, the people that you're hanging out with are still doing the same small town stuff where it's like, we found somebody and now we're gone. Where are you hanging out exactly? Because, it's Lakewood and Ohio City. You're just full of 30-somethings that are being
weird. It's true. I think I got used to sort of this core-knit group of people that I had met while I was married that sort of became my friends. And a lot of them were already sort of well into the process of getting married, settling down, having kids, moving out to the suburbs long before you know, I noticed any of this stuff. But then it was kind of like, now I'm just sort of meeting people and making new friends, and that's sort of, the tides are probably going to turn here, and I'm going to.
But where? I need a geographic location.
Like where I'm hanging specifically.
Yeah, because I want to be there tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to make Jeremy drive me.
The hell you are, buddy.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, Ohio City and Lakeway, I mean, you make a great point. Those are sort of the primary areas I hang out. Tremont,
yeah.
And I mean, it is true. Like, I think a lot of the people that I meet and hang out with there are not in that place, and it's been nice to sort of meet more people that are more interactive. I think a lot of it too stems from my deep-seated hatred of those. And you guys, I heard you guys talk about this. I think it was on episode one. Those alleged introverts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People love to talk about how they're introverted so much, which kind of just seems to negate the entire
identity
of
it.
Being an introvert.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends who just kind of fall back on like, oh, well, the reason I keep bailing on you or the reason I don't come out anymore is just I'm an introvert. I can't. I'm sorry.
No, that doesn't count.
Like, I just want to be at home with my cats and my boyfriend. I'm sorry. I'm an introvert. And it's like, well, that's cool, but maybe stop asking me to go do shit and like then bailing on me all the time. Or
so that's like those kind of people. You just start bailing on them yourself.
Yeah. I think you have more of a hatred of canceling plans than you do of people in new relationships.
That's probably true. I could definitely. I mean, I think that's a huge part of the people that I used to hang out with before they stopped hanging out with me because they fell off the face of the earth. Is just that they yeah, they just weren't very good about being sticking to plans and being loyal friends.
So they're so you hate bad friends.
I hate bad friends. The thing is, my bad friends, my bad friends, not my good friends. My bad friends are the ones that tend to use relationships as their crutch for being a bad friend. Like, I don't ever see him. He works late, and I just.
So do you think these people are in limbo until they attach to somebody?
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, this is based too. I've had on at least three different occasions friends who literally completely fell off the face, and then within a week of a breakup or the demise of the relationship, would call me and be like, "I'm so sorry. I know I was such a bad friend. I promise I'm going to try harder." And literally every time they find a new boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, they're gone again. And it's almost like they're aware of it. Like, the thing is, when they acknowledge their awareness of it and then go back
like,
and repeat
the
behavior.
Okay, so you're still an asshole.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's one thing when you're completely sort of oblivious. I can kind of forgive ignorance.
Dumb people.
But like, yeah, I can forgive ignorance. I can't forgive just like blatant disregard and disrespect for like our friendship. Like, you just.
Agreed.
So it's kind of like they're addicted to relationships instead of drugs.
Yeah. I could see that addicted. Wasn't there like that Robert Palmer that he
Yeah,
died
might
that
as well face
song?
It. You're addicted to love.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Robert Paulson. I was like, why are you talking about Fight Club?
This is Bob. He has bitch tits. He's never going to be in a relationship unless he finds somebody that really, really likes to be smothered by mammaries.
And I think, too, it's probably some self-hatred mixed in there, too, because I think...
Are you shitty in new relationships?
I'm not shitty in new relationships. My issue is that I was so insecure that I sort of identified myself with whoever I was with. Like, I didn't have an identity outside of the relationship I was in.
There you
and
go,
I want
then.
Other people to have a fucking identity outside of the relationship they're in. I want them to be able to be their... I want them to be able to be two separate people and not this, like, amorphous blob of, like, two-headed...
Like, to whereas you could hang out with one or you could hang out with the other. You don't need to hang out with both.
Right. And, like, that was the one thing, like, my ex and I, like, I mean, we had, I would say, like, 75% of our friends were mutual friends. But the thing was, every single one of them, like, it wasn't like they needed to hang... It's not like one of us was the gateway friend and, like, they had to be there in order to, like, you know, sort of...
Is that Seinfeld, the glue? Like, he's, you know,
yeah,
the glue that holds it together?
Yeah, I forget. Like, he and I came up with that term because we'd have certain friends where it was like we met them through other friends.
Yeah, we
consider them our friends, but they wouldn't hang out with us unless the gateway friend was present because we weren't close enough with them that, like, that they felt like they could really hang with us. But that was the thing. Like, you know, if he went out, he could hang out with them. If I went out, I could hang out with them. We didn't need to be together.
Right.
In order for us to be able to have those friends. And that's also been nice, too, just from the perspective of, like, since we've split, like, you know, most of our good friends have still hung out with both of us and not sort of felt the need to pick sides.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Yeah. But
that won't last.
Oh, no, I don't anticipate that. Like, Jeremy Scherer, ruining all my hopes and dreams. Yeah. People won't keep coming to your stand-up, and not all of your friends will stay your friends.
However,
not everybody.
Though, you got to appreciate the realism of that. Like, I mean...
I do.
I mean, it's like, okay, so you're in your early 30s.
Yes.
I mean, you've experienced life. I mean, how old were you when you got married?
26.
Okay, so, like, that's a decent age to get married because people get married fucking young.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, like, you have experienced, like, life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't get married at 21.
Right.
So if you've experienced life, then you know all those things are true. Like, everything he's saying, it doesn't mean stop doing comedy. Fuck your friends.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's better to do comedy without your friends there.
Exactly.
Speaking from experience.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. It's
I like how you're the youngest one at the table and you're speaking from experience.
Back in my day.
Hey, you know what? I'm wise for my age.
Yeah.
After I got the DUI.
Beyond
that's when I got
years.
Wise.
Yeah, that's usually when it happens.
Some would call it wise. I call it pickled.
I like that. I like that pickled. A lot. Thank you. That'll be my first shirt that we sell. Pickled.
Pickled. El Hordano pickles. Diablo pickles.
You're salty.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
More than you know. Well, you listen to the podcast.
I know. I was listening to episode 2 today, and I was like, listening to Kevin's episode, because I've met Kevin, he's a good guy, and I was like, oh shit, this is like a real, he's talking about like real shit that he's mad. I thought this was like an unfounded anger, like, podcast. This is like...
It's just anger in general.
That was like real. I was like, I'm some like millennial mook who's going to come in and be like, my friends don't hang out with me. And like, Kevin has this really serious, like...
Hatred comes from many different places, and I want to explore all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, your other idea was a little too pedestrian, so we didn't explore cream cheese frosting.
No, it was whipped cream frosting.
Whipped cream frosting.
Yes.
Because I was about to be like, you don't like cream cheese frosting, you get the fuck out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can live with
it. What is whipped cream frosting?
Okay, so whipped cream frosting is a lie. It's, if anyone tries to tell you it's frosting, they can just go fuck themselves.
So is it just whipped cream?
It's basically whipped cream that people put food coloring in, and like you look at it and it's, you know, like in Bugs Bunny when he dressed up like a woman and they were like, oh, she's so hot. Yeah. And then you start kissing him and his wig falls off and he's a bunny. No, it's not frosting. It's just, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's not delicious. You bite into it expecting like sugar and butter and like your teeth are rot out and you're just like, why?
Have you ever had seafoam icing?
Ooh, what's that?
Seafoam icing is basically what whipped cream frosting aspires to be.
Okay.
But it is a very involved process. Yes, it has flavor, but it has that light texture of whipped cream.
Okay.
So that is what you need to experience in order to
be able to make a full assessment of.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, like, I want to feel...
I'm a terrible fat person, dude. I don't even know what the fuck either are you talking about.
Well, I mean, do you have a sweet tooth, or are you more like the, like,
savory
salty
guy.
Snacks?
Yeah, do see, I that's look why. Like I don't eat?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell if it was, like, a sweet or a savory. you can't really tell based off aesthetics if it's
fair
where it
fair
comes
enough.
From.
Fair enough.
I guess if you're pickled, but you could be like a bread and buttered pickled, and that's
no,
sweet.
Fuck
so,
no, dill
no.
all the
Isn't
way.
Isn't that bullshit? Why is there anything besides dill? Why does any...
I agree.
See, this is, I'm way more mad about pickles than frosting. Like, I had some time to think about the other thing. I'm like, well, you make some good points in relationships. Pickles, fuck bread and butter pickles.
I'll do the hot and sour ones that are kind of sweet, but fuck you if it's not dill otherwise.
Why do those exist? Why are those a thing?
Because some sandwiches need a little sweetness.
No, they don't. Sandwiches are supposed to be savory. People who put apples
See,
on
put
sandwiches,
syrup
fuck
on
you.
It. Yeah, I know, apples.
Who put syrup on a sandwich?
I don't know. I'm just saying if you want your sandwich to be sweet, I mean, I don't... I just,
you put maple fucking syrup.
I don't know. Don't get a sweet pickle. That's all I'm saying. Because what pisses me off is if I go to eat and bite into a dill pickle, and I'm like, what the... Again, it's Bugs Bunny in a, like, dress. You're just like, oh, they got a pickle! And then
Next
the
week,
falls off.
Jess Falstitch on pickles.
I could probably go off for hours. I'm like,
it sounds like it.
Yeah, and there should be like a word for it where like it's like, you know, it tricks you when you think like you're gonna eat something. That's why I don't like Triscuits, because I'm expecting frosted mini wheats, and my brain's like, why is it salty?
Because it has to be.
I know.
See, in my cupboard right now, I have blueberry frosted mini wheats, which is ultimately the best cereal on the planet, next to Cocoa Puffs, which I also have, and. Triscuits, the rosemary and olive oil
Those
ones.
Those are good.
They are fantastic.
They're good. But every time I bite into one for the first time, my brain, even though it knows
it
I'm eating
a
Triscuit, it's like,
short...
why is it not sweet? And
short circuits a
little I try to reason with it, but it doesn't.
Have you tried topping your Triscuits? Does that aid the process?
I haven't, and I think that's probably my downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Salami and cheese.
Yeah.
Fuck, it'll change your world.
That's how I started. When I started eating Wheat Thins, I wasn't sure about them. And then I started eating them with like cheese and like, prosciutto.
Wheat Thins are good. Triscuits are better.
Really? That's controversial.
Really?
That's controversial.
But I'm also the person who hates, like, when people are like, oh, we have 9 whole grain bread. I'm like, fuck you. I'll take white.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like grainy bread.
I don't. Yeah, I don't want seeds in my bread.
Unless it's rye.
Oh, well, no, I like rye. Don't get me wrong.
See?
No, rye's where it's at. But, like, that 9
Jeremy
grain.
Jeremy rye or
that,
Jewish rye,
the
if you
9
will.
Grain, 12 grain stuff
fuck
where there's,
you.
Like, weird... Like, just, like, a nuts and grains, like...
Yeah, don't want it.
If I need an EpiPen to eat my toast, that's not an ideal situation.
I've decided that it will be Jeremy Rye instead of Jewish Rye.
Ooh,
I will, dude, let's start a bread company.
Nice.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Can we get a good recipe?
I'll start pickles. We'll make sandwiches.
We just... All right. Fuck the podcast. Let's get to work.
Yeah. We'll just, like just leave. And we'll still be recording. Hear the cat.
We're busy making sandwiches.
Why are you guys making any profits? Well, we're eating all of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'll fuck up a sandwich.
So, speaking of sandwiches, when you were married, were you the domesticated one of the?
Yeah, I mean, it helped.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
You don't come off like that at all, dude.
Yeah, no. So it helped that the first. Well, so we were married 7 years. 5 of those years, I worked from home. So basically, I was home pretty much all day, every day. Which made me really depressed, and that's why I stopped doing that. But But because I was home all day, every day, it afforded me the time to keep the house immaculate. And furthermore, since I grew up in the country, I love doing yard work and I love doing handiwork and all that kind of shit. So I would go outside and like rake and I'd paint the house. And like, I was just constantly just doing shit. Right on. And plus I'm like really, really, I say OCD, but I feel like that's probably insensitive to people with actual OCD.
This podcast is not about sensitivity.
I need everything to be a certain way. And so it was almost like...
No wonder she got fucking divorced.
Yeah. No. That's not OCD, dear. That's bratty.
Bratty. Well, just from the perspective that like... I mean, I feel like it was a good bratty just because though I did like all of the laundry, all the ironing, all the cleaning.
It was productive.
It was a productive bratty.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Did he... Now, not saying, I obviously don't know your fucking ex-husband, but like, did he want you to be domesticated or was he like...
He wanted me to work. Like, he wasn't like, go stand in the kitchen with no shoes.
Bear my children.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it was funny though because, and I don't know that he'll ever necessarily admit to this, but when I started telling him like, no, this sucks, like, because I know it's hard to believe, but I'm not an introvert.
I need to be
around people. And the thing was, like, if there would literally be days when I was working from home, like, if he were out of town, I wouldn't interact with another human being for, like,
three days.
I can't deal with it. Like, because sometimes my neighbors wouldn't be around. And I would even go outside sometimes if they were cutting the grass and I'd just be, like, waving because I really wanted to just someone to talk to. I became like that sad old lady at like age 31 because I really wanted to talk to someone.
Is that when you got into cats?
No, I've been into cats my whole life, but that's a whole other show.
There's got to be a cat fancy podcast out there somewhere for you.
I'll start that on top of my pickle business.
There you go. Pickles and cats. Perfect.
But yeah, no, when I told him I couldn't do it anymore and I really wanted to find like an actual job where I left the house every day, he was like, "You're gonna hate it. You're not gonna like it." And I even called him out a couple of times because I was like, "Is it that you think I'm not gonna like it, or are you just not gonna like the fact that your laundry is always done now?" You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like all that shit was just getting like automatically done, and he didn't have to think twice about it. And I think, you know, deep down, I think that was part of it. But I mean, now he's got to do his fucking laundry all the time. So
that is what happens.
But yeah, I think that was probably part of it. It was nice having like a built-in. You know, I don't want to say mate, because I mean, he definitely didn't get the laundry done, but it was like, it was nice just to have all that stuff done, and it didn't have an impact on being able to get my work done. And plus I got to sleep every day till like 9, and it was hard to argue with that.
I like how you said sleep every day until 9, like that's a huge deal.
Yeah, it was, because now I get up at 6 after I go on and do stand-up till 1, and I understand why everybody has coke habits in this field now, because... I'm exhausted all the time.
Yeah, I don't get home till 3:30 in the morning every night, and then I have to get up at 6:30. Yep. So, I do not have a coke habit though.
Well, that is good.
I don't have any habits.
I mean, you've got that. You've got the smoking.
Shit.
You've got the snacks.
Well, I mean, that was a joke. It was. I mean, dude, if you want to go down the fucking gamut, I've got plenty of them. Alcohol.
You probably itch too much.
Fuck you, man.
Oh, God.
I'm done.
Max the microphone over.
You're like, that's the one. That was it.
That was the pushing moment. That was the straw.
We made it 5 episodes.
I'm glad I was here for the last episode.
Every time I tell somebody they look like they itch, they get mad.
Because of the implications.
Hey, dude, what you should have said was, you look like you itch, but not from a heroin habit.
Or an STD.
Right.
Yeah.
Or bugs.
Yeah. No, just because like you have onset eczema.
Yeah,
or like
I was just about to say, because you have fucking eczema. Like, what am I, John Turturro from the Night Owl?
Oh, in that case, that's fine.
Give me a fucking chopstick so I can scratch it, please.
My stylist actually
does. I do have psoriasis,
that.
Though. So. Oh, that's, but that's not eczema.
That's too bad. I actually don't know the difference. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, seriously, if you say that one more time, then I'm going to be fucking offended.
You're slowly moving into Cleveland comedy here, and we don't care about that.
No, I know.
But no, like psoriasis is just, it's brought on by, well, I mean, stress I'm pretty sure is what caused it. But like when I got in the accident, it got a lot worse, which makes sense. Stress.
Mm. Okay.
But it's like, that's why it attacked my scars. I have it on my legs and shit. But no, eczema is like a... it's like a bacteria or something that, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's like a bacteria that grows inside of you that like makes everything, not saying psoriasis isn't gross, but it's not contagious.
Sure. Eczema is a little different. It's just like really, really, really dry skin. And there's like one lotion that works and I can't remember what it is because member of the family.
So if you have it, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll ask my person if you really need to know, but
it's good. They gave me steroid cream, and if I was better about it, and it would actually go away better. But I'm a lot less stressed these days, so it's not as bad as it used
to be.
That's
nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want you on steroids, Jordan.
No, it's a steroid cream.
Oh, okay.
I'll be turning to Brock Lesnar. Like, well, no, if I was on steroids and you would have actually pissed me off with what you just said, I'd have just flipped the table and F5'd you and just walked out. And my entrance music would have played on my, it would have been my outro music.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't sell.
There would have been no crowd for that wrestling match. Fuck.
Yeah, well, that's
wrestling.
How it goes.
You guys like your wrestling. That's one thing I've noticed about the guys I've been hanging out with.
Yeah.
Well, me and Jeremy are old school.
Yeah.
Like, and it's become a trend now.
Okay.
So,
thank goodness for that.
Is it cool
again?
I guess so, in a way.
I mean, you could argue either way. It's just, but I think, you know, I'm sure you've noticed this. You're at the point where you kind of just, it no longer matters what's cool. It's just who you get along with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It just, you know.
It's a great part about it. Like, a lot of people talk shit. Like, oh, I'm old. I can't stay out. Like, yeah, but no one really gives a shit what you do or don't like anymore. Everyone, you think it's cool. Other people might think it's cool.
Yeah, we're not in a.
Embrace it.
We're not in a scenario anymore where we have to worry about what's cool. It's just, we have money to consume whatever we want.
The scenario we live in now is you just have, like, it doesn't matter what it is. If somebody likes it, you have to like it too, or at least pretend.
Well, I still feel that way about sports, but
all sports.
Yeah.
Besides wrestling, obviously.
Well, yeah.
I won't even really. I'm a big fan of it. I won't call it a sport.
We won't even go that far.
But, I mean, it is. It's athletic for sure, but I wouldn't call it a sport. If it's predetermined, it's not a sport. But you could also make the argument to the NFL and the NBA.
Well, it's like I play fantasy football one year, so like I'm going to try to be normal. And
have you seen that like meme that goes around every year, like right when football starts, and it's like Dungeons and Dragons is stupid because it's just you making shit up with your friends, and it's like, well, fantasy football is stupid too because it's just you picking people that you don't know.
Yeah, I
get the whole like fantasy football fantasy.
I'm in it this year. I suck horribly. And the thing is, like,
I'll give you some pointers.
Well, so usually if I suck, it's because like I just haven't paid attention to my team.
Right.
No, this year it's like I have dropped and picked up like 11 different tight ends, and the problem is that they all keep being on the same bye week, and I don't know how this keeps happening. Like, I literally dropped two of my like players because I was like, oh shit, all three of my tight ends are on the same bye week. So I dropped two players, pick up two more tight ends. Swear to God, I have five tight ends and they all have a bye week.
First
on week
question,
four.
Why the fuck do you have three tight ends?
I don't even know. I have no idea. I think because one of them ended up like just, I think one was Dez Bryant and he just
Dez
sucks.
Dez Bryant's a wide receiver.
He sucks. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody sucks.
I'm curious though. Let me ask. Who's your quarterback?
Okay, so my starter is Aaron Rodgers.
He's been shit this
and
year.
He's
but
been
I'm a,
shit.
But I'm a huge Packers fan, so I'll
and
let it
And then
slide.
My backup's Eli Manning.
Oh,
so I feel
that
like
mouth-breathing fucking dummy. You know what I call Eli Manning? Rain Manning.
Nice.
Because it fucked that guy.
Nice.
Also dislike the Mannings, but for other reasons.
Well, yeah, because Peyton, all that shit that came out about him. Which sucks because I really did like that guy.
Wasn't it like to grab or to dick pick or
he put his asshole on somebody's face and his balls dangled and slapped her around a little bit. It was described more eloquently in the.
How can you describe something like that eloquently? I don't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah, so that happened. Eli didn't have anything to do with that. I just don't like him.
No.
Yeah.
Rain Manning.
Yeah.
Rain Manning. That's
but
good. I like it.
We've explored a wide plethora of hatred. It wasn't focused.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the laser focus that we're accustomed to.
Sure.
Here
I'm sorry about that.
That is okay.
It's been a fun conversation so far.
I know. But we're getting off track.
Pew. I'm just doing laser impressions now.
Well, you know, okay. you should use those in your act. They're pretty good.
That would actually be really funny.
I can't do laser light show, but if I just stand up there and go, pew, pew.
Yeah. This is my impression of Laser Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw streamers at people and go, wing.
So I think the one thing we haven't explored here is what were you like when you first got into your relationship with your husband? Not necessarily the marriage.
And yeah, you have to be honest. First,
yeah, for sure. I was 21. So you know, you were talking earlier about like getting married at 26, but like I was with him since I was 21. So right. I really didn't
You guys were together
have,
for like 10 plus years.
Yeah, about 13. I think it was like 13.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
Wow.
So yeah, like when I met him, yeah, I was just kind of this chubby little insecure person who just, like I said, my only experience was with boyfriends was like you just cling on and just like hold on for your life and hope that like you can land him because that's what you do when you grow up in a small town. Like you gotta take what you can get.
Okay.
Even if that means, you know, accidentally knocking yourself up. Whoops, now you gotta stay with me. Not that I've never really been a huge fan of children, so that was never really on my agenda.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, the first probably 2 years we were together, I was kind of always forcing the issue of like, let's hang out more. And he was always like, bitch, you need to step off because I just, like I said, I just really felt lonely and I really felt like I was the kind of person who just couldn't really make friends. So this was a good sort of, I guess, crutch or way to fill the void. And I never really developed a sense of security. And then, furthermore, I think, you know, even though like I eventually sort of ventured out and started like making friends and stuff like that, probably not even until like the last 4 years that I feel like I was actually secure enough that like if he and I were to split up that I would survive.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So like, you became kind of dependent.
Yeah. Like, And not just dependent on him, but just this idea that, like, I don't want to die alone. I don't want to die alone.
Yeah,
I don't want to die alone.
That's not, I didn't mean that.
No, yeah.
Like, you want somebody else around that's like your partner in crime, be it your spouse or
someone.
Whomever. Yeah, exactly.
And I literally, maybe it's seated in my love affair with felines, but I just really didn't want to, like, have them, like, die alone and have them eating my face when I'm, like, 67. Like, I wanted to
make
sure.
So you didn't want pussy eating you?
Yes.
Okay.
For a change.
That joke didn't land. Fuck.
Complaints about that joke can be sent to thehateflow@gmail.com.
Somebody's going to get on my shit about that one. I hope
God.
So.
No. So yeah, like, I think for me, like I said, it's been a pretty recent revelation that, like, you're not going to die alone.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the rare, unlikely event that you do, you're still gonna die. Like, everyone's gonna die. Like, you're not gonna be aware the cat's eating your face. And I mean, like, the worst part though was like literally the week I think my ex and I split up. I listened to a lot of This American Life.
Okay.
And I actually listen to the 24/7 stream sometimes when I've like maxed out all my regular podcast listens. And I swear to God, 6 different times that same week that we split up, there was one episode they kept talking about this woman and they had to go back through her house and she basically was like this hoarder house and they didn't even know, like, they didn't know if there were any living relatives or anybody
Knew
her. And I'm just like, and like, this was already after I'd finally like taken the leap and I'm like, I'm gonna be fine. I'm not mm-hmm. gonna die alone. And then I just keep hearing, they basically do this thing in LA and they probably do it a lot of different places where they take, they literally do a mass incineration of all the remains of people who don't get claimed because there's no one that
yeah,
knows
you know
they
who else
died.
Did that? Fucking Nazis.
Well,
that's fucked up.
And so they would basically every year they do a huge one great big memorial service for like 2,000 to 3,000 people on a big pile of ashes
wow.
and just throw them in like this mass grave of like, you know, and they try to do it as like an honorable, like, you know, there's nobody else here to throw a funeral for you, so here's this. But they don't
know the fucking difference. That's crass to me. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think it's just kind of one of, like, and again, I'm not arguing for or against it, but I think it's just kind of like, well, instead of just throwing them in a landfill, you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to do some sort of like, you know, you were a person, and even though mm-hmm. no one else knows that, you know, you're dead, we still acknowledge that you were a person who lived at one time, and we're trying to give you a proper burial, which is more than like would have happened if we just let you, like...
I mean, so wait, do they, like, stockpile bodies for, like, 2-3 months, and then they're like, oh, we got enough for the pile,
I don't know if there's, like, a pile. I don't know where they keep them, either.
That's so...
I just know that every time I would get to that part of the story, I'd already be like, like trying not to think about going in the pile that I was not.
Well, I saw something today I think that both of you would appreciate. Somebody posted, like, you know, like that Etsy stuff that people do, like where they make crafts and they sell it. I think it's a real cool thing. It was a coffin jewelry box, but on the coffin it said, "Fuck you, at least I tried."
Oh.
And I was like, that's brilliant.
That's,
like,
adorable.
Yeah. Like, I was like, that. I need that. Like, I need that for me.
I like it.
I'll keep my drugs in it.
A cute little tattoo right there. Speaking of Etsy, I know we're getting off topic again. Pew, pew. But
we're doing that today.
No, I was on Etsy the other day and I was looking at cat toys because I know that's a shocker. they have cat. First of all, they have penis cat toys. So I guess if you're throwing a bachelorette party,
hold on. All right. The first cat I ever owned.
I don't know where this is going.
When we got her into her apartment, we took her in a car from Akron, Ohio to Greeley, Colorado, which was already traumatic enough. Yeah, I do not. It is very smelly.
Oh, yeah, it smells like manure. Yeah.
And slaughterhouse.
Ooh.
Yeah, the ConAgra thing is right around there, so that's why Greeley smells.
Gotcha.
But the guy that came with me has a Jacob's ladder. And Ash's litter box was in the bathroom because I didn't know any better at the time. So she got the door open while he was taking a shower and started batting because the little Jacob's ladder was making flashies and jinglies. So it's like, I hear penis cat toys, like, no, you're training for that moment. That moment right there.
That's fantastic. No, but that was it. I was like, are you throwing a bachelorette party for your cat? I don't understand why you would need penis cat toys.
I still don't understand what a penis cat toy is.
It's just a penis.
So it's a dildo that a cat plays with.
Yeah, but it's got catnip in it. And it's not like hard. Like, you probably, like, if you or I used it, we wouldn't get much out of it. But, like, there's catnip in it and it's soft and, like, has, like,
I like how you recognize that Jordan uses dildos.
Well, I thought I'd be fair. I thought I'd be an equal opportunist. I don't want to.
It's okay. It's not the first time I've been confused for a dildo user.
I mean, you do have the dildo user look about you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Aww. It's just like you don't look strained. It looks like, you know.
But I still have fuckable lips, right?
You do have fuckable lips. That's what you should be using those dildos for. Practice, practice, practice. How are we going to get this podcast big if you don't practice?
If you're not sucking dick, how are we going to get huge? That's a double pun, goddammit.
I was gonna say, that was a beautiful little double entendre right there. No, the other ones I saw on Etsy, there was the dick ones, but that wasn't even the weird one. The weird one was they had bloody tampon cat toys, which I'm of the philosophy that there can't be a supply without a demand. So someone asked for that at some point in history. Was like, hey,
and I'm hitting people up on Etsy, like, hey, can you make me a Court of Owls ring? Like, I'm fucking trying to get comic book
and
dumb
people
shit.
Are like, what?
No,
that's
but I
crazy.
Can make you a cat dildo. It's real
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
These are training implements. You get the one bloody tampon cat toy, and then all of a sudden you get the real thing, and you have got cat toys for the rest of your life.
Fuck.
That's actually a great point.
We've gone off the rails
tonight.
I've
been spending money at PetSmart like it's sap, and I could have just been producing.
One cat toy.
And I've been spending money at PetSmart like it's fucking, what's that guy? Ambiance.
Ambiance, yeah.
The store for kitty lovers.
Aww.
There's got to be a pet.
There's something there.
Pombiance.
Pombiance. You know what? If you want to make that your thing, we know the person in charge of Ambiance. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
The cat?
She's, Ambiance has been a sponsor of the Cleveland Comedy Festival since, like,
that's
off
cool.
rip. So
that's our first sponsor. What did I tell you? I said I need our first sponsor to be a fucking, like, a sex thing.
Oh, yay.
Because, like, that would be so much. If me and Jeremy talking about sex toys, that would be so much fun.
That'd make me happy. I would listen to that.
Don't Don't get excited about selling out just yet, buddy boy.
There's more content. I want to. We're still working
on pickles and bread. We gotta move up. Mr. Hero is our first one. Okay.
Mr. Hero, we gotta get the Mrs. Dad
waffle fries.
Yes, with cheese. I mean, a Roman burger. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I can't eat Mr. Hero anymore. This is gonna ruin our sponsorship opportunity.
Hey, don't get ahead of yourself.
But last time I ate Mr. Hero, I went to the gas station to fill up gas, sneezed, and shit my pants.
Aww.
Like immediately afterwards. So Mr. Hero's been off the menu.
Aww.
I'm gonna get Jeremy really high one night and be like, dude, let's go get a hot butter cheesesteak.
Mr. Villain, am I right?
Yes.
Speaking of sex sponsors, one time I went to this really fancy event at the museum, and Christie's was like the biggest sponsor
of
all of them. CMA.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And I was very impressed by that. I was like, good for you, Christie's.
Yeah, well, I mean, one could argue that that's fine art.
Uh-huh.
You would not find me among those people arguing, but...
No. Did you listen to our first episode?
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I did indeed.
All right.
Sam Lotrat, come back.
Yeah. So I think we've established that, you're very, very aware of the situation that happens when a new relationship forms because of the connections that get cut off and it seems like they're evolving past you.
Mm-hmm.
And, so how do you avoid falling into that trap?
Well, it's interesting you should ask because, back on a dating scene, and that's sort of the thing. Like I said, you meet someone you really like, and you just kind of want to be like, eh, screw it, let's just stay in and watch Netflix all mm-hmm. the rest of our lives and never do anything else. But then you know, like I kind of have that experience to draw from too, where I know from experience that if I do that for too long, I'm gonna be really unhappy. Like it's gonna seem like a really fun, nice thing to do,
right.
For a couple of weeks, and then I'm gonna be really sad because I have horrible FOMO. Like I need if I see like anybody out doing anything that I could conceive of that's possibly fun that I could have also been doing, it like rips me to shreds.
Facebook is really terrible for that too.
Yeah.
I don't know, never mind. I'm gonna say something. I was gonna say something really fucking dumb, so it doesn't matter. Go on.
All right.
Yeah,
it's good that you can like
identify. Of all people, I need a filter.
Yeah, so you'll never mind.
See? I mean, like,
guess who I learned it from?
Yeah.
I learned it by watching you, Dad.
Yeah,
learned it by watching you.
We're learning to self-edit, and for some reason, it's going to make good podcast.
Saves you the time and hassle of doing it later.
Yeah, yeah. There's no fixing this in post.
But I'm saying she hates so much shit. I mean, we've tackled.
I do.
Cats. Oh, no, you love cats, but yeah. We've tackled.
Cat dildos.
Cat dildos, sweet pickles, new relationships. I mean, you hate everything.
I don't hate those as much as they just annoy me. And like I said, I think it comes from a couple, like, I think we hit on some. This is way more productive than a lot of sessions with my therapist, I gotta tell you.
So we will be charging her.
Yes. Let me give you my Blue Cross Blue Shield and my HSA card.
Oh, no, we don't take Obamacare.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You got it. Cash business only.
No. It's my allowed amount with Blue Cross Blue Shield is $40.
Okay.
Which they will pay me, and you have zero copay.
Okay.
Because this is a preventative service.
Sweet.
And they're covered at 100%.
This is great.
So much better than my therapist.
Coming back next week?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to go home tonight and like sleep the like sleep of 1,000 years. Like, I'm just going
to... Well, talking to those two is...
But yeah, no, I think it all...
My life's not so bad.
It all boils down to just... It comes from a personal place of I would like for my friends to, one, not be these self-proclaimed introverted douchebags and actually get out of their house and mm-hmm. do shit with their lives.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Two... I would like for them to be strong enough to be able to be individuals and not, like I said, the two-headed
Not even individuals, just independent, because you can be an individual any day of the week, but
yeah,
independent is
right.
a whole other thing.
Right, because mm-hmm. I just think there's a huge amount of value in that ability. And three, you know, like, I don't even know if I want to get married again, but, like, you know, save some, like, you know, people don't save themselves for marriage anymore. Save your time for marriage. Like, you're going to be together till you fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, you like, if it's not, like, while you're dating, at least just spend some time apart. Because you're going to, there's going to be some day where you have, like, two kids and you're just never going to be apart and you're just, you're always going to have to be together.
Yeah.
And you're just going to hate it.
My my dear friends call it toddler lockdown.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. And I used to get mad because my friends were always like, I got kids now. But like, I can tell like deep down, like they legitimately want mm-hmm. to go to the things that I asked them to go to. They just can't.
The kids. Oh no, like just... that's, I mean like, all right. So this real quick. I inherited a dog from my landlord because mm-hmm. she adopted another dog that's really fucking shitty, but she chose to give away the dog she's had for years mm-hmm. to me, which is fine because I live right upstairs so she can see him all the time.
Yeah.
But like, not that I'm not an animal person. I like animals, like, but it's the same thing with me, animals, same thing with kids. I like them on my own fucking terms, not like... Now it's like, okay, well, shit, now I can't get drunk and stay somewhere, yeah. or I can't, oh, this is way closer to work, I'm going to hang out with this person. Like, I have to be responsible for another living being, which is like, I like my dog, but he's still not really my fucking dog.
And that's, I think dogs and kids are pretty much, like, in the same boat for me. Like, they're great when they're someone else's. Like,
yes.
I think they're cute. And they're funny and they're interesting. And then the second that they have to like take a rely shit in the living you. Room, I'm like, I'm out. Like I'm just gonna go. And that's you. Because that's the thing too. Like a lot of my friends, like ironically or coincidentally, like the same ones that are often just like never around are like, you know, oh, I gotta get home and let the dog out. And yeah. it's like, you don't even have children and you can't even stay out because you gotta go
right.
drive to your hour away suburban house and let your dog out. I mean, like, you can't just come back because you live so far away. Yeah. And
I'm facing that now and I don't like, I like him. He's a sweetheart. He's dumb as fuck. Dogs, but like, yeah. I mean, I just, I if I weren't like, I'm not allergic to long-haired cats. I'm more allergic to short-haired cats. But if I had a cat, it would be, like, way fucking easier.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, not only is it on my terms, it's on cat's terms.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I'm going to like you when I want to. I'm like, oh, great. We can coexist then.
We have an agreement. Yeah. We're cool.
Like, I'll fill up your bowl. There's your water. And But well, you can't do that with a kid either.
It's true. The fuck I mean, you can't. Could. You
could. Look. All I'm saying is my kid, for a while, all she would eat was, like, Aldi's canned pasta, and it reminded me of feeding my dog.
Oh, just, like, the funk that goes into a bowl.
There you go.
Yeah, and, like
Aldi's SpaghettiOs and...
Yeah, Aldi's SpaghettiOs, spaghetti in a can, that I had to heat up, but...
Normally, I just gave her a can. I opened the can, took the sharp part away, gave her a fork, said, go at it.
Yeah. But she eventually evolved taste buds, so thank goodness for that.
That
but,
is good, yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us this evening. Jess, thank you very much for coming on
Thanks
the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is fun.
You got any shows coming up in, like, a month from now that you
I
or where can people check you out?
Like, I don't know. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Epic Fall. It's the
Epic Fall, not Epic Fail.
Yeah, it's Epic Fall because it's my last name, Falstaff.
F-A-U-L. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that kind of shit. So.
Yeah, I'm all about the puns. I've just been kind of doing the random open mics around town. I was doing Sachsenheim for a while, and I just haven't gotten out there in a minute.
I'm trying to go there Thursday, so.
But yeah, maybe Thursday because I don't have anything really going Thursday. And then, I've been trying to do more like stuff like the Modern Kicks thing. And I went to the Grog last night, and I'm just kind of out and about.
Okay, cool. Ooh, cool.
Yeah, and before we get going, we need to thank Pete, our producer at Milky Way Recordings. You can Gmail him for any information about getting your audio project off the ground. Also, thanks to Sam Holmes. Holmes with no L is
just
not
Holmes.
Just Holmes. Just Holmes like you live in.
Lots of Holmes, but we also need to give that's Pete's email address.
Yeah.
That's how you remember the Great Lakes.
You know it.
MilkyWayRecordings@gmail.com.
There we go.
We can fix it in post.
And, and the funny thing is I've been recording here way longer than you, and I still don't know it. So,
I mean,
Pete, I'm going to get a kick in the dick from Pete for that one.
Kick in the dick.
Yeah, can we record that? Can we get the dick kick?
We do like a sound effect.
Oh, no. Pete, see all these nice mics we have? Mm-hmm. Pete will mic my balls.
Oh, cool.
And my so it's like you're going to get it all.
That's dedication right there.
I mean, he's the greatest, dude. Yeah.
Perfect.
Pete.
All right. Lousy Weather Media, lousyweathermedia.com.
You can love check you out, guys.
Check out the main show. You can check out Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Check out the wrestling podcast, got the which lousy... I just listened to.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on the network. You know, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates as much as Jess Falstich.
Yay! I win!
No, there is another. I won't apologize again! I'm a rampant avenger! You can see right through my skin! I don't care!